Hi guys, my name's Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the 10th in our series of podcasts where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So today we're talking about collaboration, and more specifically collaboration within Microsoft Teams. There are many options on the market today, but with more than 500,000 organisations already adopting Teams in just over 2 years and 13 million daily users, Teams seems to be the solution of choice at the minute. You can chat, meet, share files and work with many business apps, but why has Teams grown so rapidly and what's still to come? Well, to discuss this further, we have Craig Taylor, Cloud Solutions Director here at Phoenix, and a newcomer to both POD and Phoenix, Dan Harris-Milnes, who's our Modern Workplace Specialist here at Phoenix. So, hi guys, thanks for joining me today.
Hi Johnny, how are you doing?
Hey, very Johnny. Well. How are you both?
Good, thanks.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Very well, thank you.
Good stuff. So, can we start by giving our listeners a bit of background to you and your experience within the industry, and more specifically your roles here at Phoenix? So, Craig, we'll start with you.
Cool. Craig Taylor, Cloud Solutions Director at Phoenix. Been at Phoenix now for just over 4 years. And in that time, I think we've certainly experienced a lot of transformation, both as Phoenix and witnessed a lot of transformation within our public sector customers. My role is predominantly working with them to help execute on their modern workplace strategies and maximise the investment they've made in technology and transform for the future.
Great. Cheers, Craig. Dan?
Hi, Dan Harris-Milnes. I'm a Modern Workplace Solutions Specialist here at Phoenix. I've been in the industry for around 15 years. I've got a large background in voice, and especially with the collaboration pieces and the UC, or the unified communications elements, as they come to market in the last few years. So really exciting time for us with Teams, and obviously seeing how that goes with the evolution of the product set there. So
great. Cheers, guys. Thanks. So we'll get started with the questions, I guess. So given Phoenix's Microsoft focus, it makes sense, obviously, to tie the voice conversation with Teams. We certainly have heard a lot about Microsoft Teams over the last couple of years, but why do you two think organizations are now looking to adopt Teams as the main choice of platform?
I think Teams, it's hard to believe, well, first of all, that it's just over two years old. And we were talking to customers about this initially released. I think there's a lot of excitement at that time. And we were seeing a lot of the customers we were working with using tools like Slack and other collaboration platforms.
So, yeah.
At that time, I think the customers were looking for different ways to work together, to share files more easily, to chat. And Teams seemed to be the answer to a lot of those problems. But I'm just astounded how quickly, like you mentioned some of the stats there before.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Users,
And how popular it is. But I think what we've seen with our customers is, traditionally, they have done things like Exchange Online, and they've moved some services into Office 365, but they were struggling then to migrate from on-prem systems to things like SharePoint and OneDrive, or provide a really simple way for their end users to consume Office 365. So I think what we're definitely seeing is Teams as being a really fresh, modern way of using Office 365 and bringing together all those applications, building on top of a foundation that they've already put in place of Exchange Online and their identity. And a lot of...
So you see it as more of a natural progression than a really disruptive technology?
Yeah. I think it's just almost what Office 365 needed to bring all of those apps and non-Microsoft apps together in one place.
Yeah.
And I think with Teams, say it's a council or an NHS trust or housing association that we're working with, the end users outside of IT really like it because it's similar to some of the experiences that they get with technology at home, or perhaps that they had with a previous corporate employer. So it's really freshening up the experience that they're getting in the organization.
Yeah. And Dan, it'd be interesting to hear from you as well, because you're relatively new to Phoenix. So, you know, our views might be tainted in our Microsoft bubble, but, you know, what do you think in respect of, you know, why people are adopting Teams and where that drive's coming from?
Yeah, I think it's become real world relevant. So like Craig was saying, you know, the adoption of the applications in 365 has become more sort of generalized, but also the fact that, you know, Skype has been out there for a good number of years. So that's really got the marketing of that product going. So people understood what that is all about, and the ability to collaborate, not just from a sharing files and instant messaging point of view, but now to tie up the voice attributes as well. So I think Teams has really come front and centre, and particularly as the Office versions have moved on, as we know, it's become more about the Teams as a workspace, and that changes the environment somewhat from a, I've got Office and I've got the ability to create content, and I've got the ability to create content, share, and collaborate in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. And it also captures, I think, a lot of those other systems and products that are out there, and particularly in the public sector, the Office suite, if you like. You don't need to look outside of that because all the component parts that you need are all there essentially already.
Yeah, brilliant. And you both kind of mentioned there that, you know, now's the time to be looking at Teams. A lot of organizations are looking at it now. You know, Teams has been out for 2 years, but I think we've seen the majority of the growth more recently. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's taken until now for people to kind of start to address that Teams conversation?
It's probably a number of reasons. I think it's starting to get more traction now as... I think there's a couple of things driving that. There's definitely Skype for Business Online, mm-hmm. You know, the deadline around that. There, I suppose, there's now more confidence in how they're going to roll that technology out as well. So one thing that we're seeing is the Teams is a very different way for an organization to work, mm-hmm. If they're used to just using email and collaborating on, you know, files and that inability to be kind of flexible. So I think with Teams, they're now more comfortable with the governance behind it. So they've probably got those structures in place to govern teams and best practices. And they've probably also started to consider a change management program and training that goes alongside, yeah, helping their staff, mm-hmm. deal with the change in working practice. And that's even something that we've witnessed as Phoenix, is, you know, we have now turned off Skype for Business and we are now fully functioning on Teams. And we've even seen it within our own organization. How that change in mindset and a different way of working affects people. So a couple of things, definitely IT governance, but also the sort of change management that people are introducing into the organization to help teams, you know, drive teams adoption, make people more comfortable with working that way.
And some of this has also been driven by user base, almost like bring your own apps. So the users are now asking for Teams as a you know, a collaboration tool. And what you tended to find is, you know, a couple of years ago, there was still that I'm buying Office, I'm using Office, but I don't know the other attributes. So typically that's for an email workload, yeah, creation of files and folders and so on. So what you tended to find was Teams as an application was in the box there, you know, but they weren't being utilized. So now it's a case of the value adds, but also, yeah, what else can we do in the product and really, you know, get that working for us?
Yeah, that's a good point. Another thing just sort of came to mind there is it also enables the frontline workers, which is, sure, just a huge part of what, mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing. How do people access information and collaborate quickly when they're out the office or they're not, perhaps with their colleagues in one place? I think now what we're even with, across the public sector, a drive to allow people to become more flexible. Now that may be a policy, or it may be because they have to shut down a building or they're relocating. Teams is a platform to allow people to collaborate from anywhere on any device, whether a mobile or in the office, and bring everyone together is just something else which is,
yeah,
you know, it's driving it, yeah, but it's the way the organization needs to go.
Absolutely. So everything you mentioned there sounds great, and there's a lot to this. But that might also bring its own challenges in terms of, you know, people being quite daunted by the fact that this is a fundamental change to the way their organization works. How do people address that issue, I guess?
Well, a lot of this is through looking at the you know, the organization and the structure, looking at the people and the desire there. So as Craig said, it could be, for instance, a change of a building, you know, being perhaps you know, two buildings into one, so they've got a more of a remote and diverse workforce now. Mm-hmm. So you start to look at how that change management process goes together. And that isn't simply about, well, I've got these applications today, I can now use these applications to cover everything. It's about, you know, the human elements, all of the resources around that, and really going about a process of understanding. And we spend a lot of time with organizations assessing where they're up to right now in their journey, and ultimately then advising about, well, okay, these are the next steps. And it's a nice gentle path, so you can take it into account of what you've already done, but also what to next, and that makes the change process a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah, definitely. Great. So changing the way we work for the better sounds great, but where does someone start with Teams?
It's a great question, Johnny. I think with Teams, and Dan's alluded to this earlier, we would tend to start with a conversation with the business leaders or the senior leadership team and the department heads, for example, within these organizations, because we do need to identify what the need is, whether that's to work differently, to save money, to collaborate better inside the organization, or, for example, with shared services partners, whatever that may be, and work from that. With teams, I think where we can then start to add some value is at the next level. It's actually showing them how the product can work alongside all of the apps that they're already using and how it can enhance perhaps what they're already doing in Office 365. Mm-hmm. So we tend to run sessions called customer immersion experiences, where we will go in and show how Teams can be used, for example, in the NHS by a frontline worker to collaborate with their colleagues and access some clinical systems. And that can be, for a lot of trusts, a very different way of working than they are now, which mm-hmm. you know, could be paper-based or not using the full potential of Office 365. So I think there's both the business understanding, the technical understanding, and then coming up with, you know, with that rollout plan and aligned training. And it takes time because, you know, we do find that you know, some organizations will, that their end users will struggle with that change, or they'll really be kind of wedded to their email. A great feature in Teams, you can actually email a Teams channel, for example, and collaborate between both platforms. So there's options for people who are kind of still getting their heads around exactly how Teams can help them.
And also, it sounds like quite a large whole-scale change, but as I said earlier, these parts or can be broken down into parts. So you can then say, well, I'll go with email workload first and start to have look at how we work with that, so from a security point of view, but also from a content sharing point of view. We often see where an email comes in to, say, 10 people in a group, and it's been, you know, there's a file attached. That's then saved 10 times, shared on again 10 times, and, you know, the workload gets much, much heavier. So the thing that Teams does, obviously, is start to break down those workloads. So just in that silo of email only that we're all used to, you can start to get better functionality, better look and feel from it, and also more efficiency from it as well. We see with large organizations, you know, the efficiency benefits, even if you can save your team half an hour a day, that has a massive impact across the organization. So it's really just breaking those component parts down to where do we start, what do we have today, and where to next. And that is really the process we're going about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Craig, you touched lightly there on the assessments that are available to customers. Do you want to just go into a bit more detail about what that might entail and include?
Yeah, what we typically do is...
And I'm not talking just from a Phoenix perspective, yeah, but these are available in the market.
No, absolutely. And these assessments are invaluable, because what we need to do, first of all, is understand what stage your particular organization is at, whether that's with Office 365 or some digital transformation program, whatever that is. So there will be typically a day spent with you, kind of showcasing the technology, helping you understand Teams and where it fits in, and use cases in your sector. And that can be delivered to IT and people from within the business. And actually, it works best when we get a real mix. You get ideas flowing, build some enthusiasm. How can we excite people about different ways that they can work? We will then follow on with up to probably 2 days of more technical discovery and defining exactly what that move to Teams may look like. There could be other factors to consider, like, are they already running Skype for Business online, or do they have Skype for Business on-prem? Is there a voice project in there, or is it simply a case of running that alongside an existing telephony solution where they want to use Teams purely for collaboration? So mm-hmm. we will then sort of, I suppose, get into some of the specifics about how to kind of roll out and maximize it with focus on end user adoption. So yeah, typically these assessments are, you know, run over a number of days on site with your organization and look at both the technical and the business reasons for doing it. And you know, that assessment model for us works really well. And I think that's what customers need, you know, short, quick engagements to help move them on. Because I think what we also recognize is a lot of the customers that we work with certainly have invested in this technology, and they're now looking to roll it out at speed and really change the way they work.
We've seen this recently in sessions where we've had a group of all ranges of role in the organization, and by showing them some features within Teams and the larger estate, they've got some quick wins in their mind already. So they're going off and empowering themselves, which is brilliant for the user adoption phase, because of course it suddenly takes the onus off the organization to say, go and do this training and or follow this path. These users are saying, I could use that. That's really good
for
me.
They want it, yeah.
Absolutely. And it becomes real world again for them, which I think is why the Teams acceleration piece now is really gathering pace, because people can see how it can help them in their daily life.
Yeah. So, you know, again, all sounds great. So a lot of our customers, a lot of organizations out there will all be using Skype for Business in anger. You know, the adoption for Skype has been tremendous. You know, is I guess the question on people's mind would be, is that replaced by Teams now? Because there's a voice element within Teams and the messaging part within that, or is there place for both? How do you see it kind of playing out?
So Skype, as we know it, is disappearing in the next couple of years. What's happening there is the Skype for Business enterprise voice side of life is being replaced by Teams. But ultimately, already Teams is the, you know, the application that you should be using for that. Now, organizations have invested in Skype for Business. I understand that. But where you look at a voice delivery only, then Skype itself will be around for, you know, a good few years. But ultimately, that experience from an all in one place, as we said earlier, as a workspace, is where that that Skype replacement piece will come. So Teams itself can be used as a collaboration platform with instant messaging and voice and video calling out of the box. But then ultimately, if you want to bring calls into that, so to replace the telephony solution, then you can then start to bring in back-end services to that, which are quite easy to do. So ultimately, Skype will disappear, Teams will take the front. That is already there today, but it will also lead out into a nice natural path of what else can I attach to that. So we see a lot of the play in Teams meetings. So when you look at video conferencing solutions today, there are a lot of paid-for services that are, you know, local authorities in particular are using to bring, you know, groups of people together. Those services are easily replaced with Teams and Teams meetings, and that is a simple to use, easy to click, go through. You can add other hardware, etc., to make those solutions, you know, from a individual meeting to a group of people in a presentation style, as well as the broadcasting side of Teams as well. So there's a lot of, I suppose, cutting edge development there that takes out a lot of other solutions, but it also makes the best of the assets they have today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing we definitely observed is if the customer hasn't kind of fully even rolled out Skype for Business online yet, they are just going almost straight to Teams.
Yeah, definitely.
As we understand it, the back end infrastructure that supports Teams is completely different to Skype, and we've even had feedback and we've experienced that ourselves. The video quality on a Teams meeting is so much better than it was on Skype for Business online. The ability to blur background, you know, run those meetings in a completely different way. Just for a lot of people, we've just seen them, their minds are blown, and they're able, or I think what we definitely noticed with Skype for Business online is people very rarely turn their video on.
Yeah.
Whereas now people, I think, are more comfortable doing so. The quality is much better. They can blur their background. It makes those remote meetings much more personable. Mm-hmm. And even at Phoenix now, we're kicking off meetings with video.
Yeah.
And we're not surprised anymore when suddenly we're presented with, you know, one of our local council customers, for example, in a room using Teams, and they're all on video again.
I've personally seen that difference. Yeah. You know, in the comparison to Skype to Teams, you know, the people who are more open to using the video element is much more.
Yeah. I think it's exciting as well, because when you look at the evolution of Teams, so here and now today we've got the ability for voice and video calling. Because Craig said, there are a lot of organizations I've worked with have typically used it from an audio conferencing point of view. So to reduce the cost of paid bridges and those services that they subscribe to anyway. But also the ability to share content, as we know, through Teams, but also the whiteboarding capability. But then on to the next generation of Teams and the cognitive services elements. So when you think about recognizing speech patterns in particular calls, it could be, for instance, an NHS call center. So they're taking a lot of call volume around a particular subject, keywords are mentioned, those patterns are put together. And then suddenly the services can adapt to those needs. Mm-hmm. And that's when the technology starts to really become quite clever. But also the fact that then you haven't got to have, you know, swathes of switches in racks to deal with all these things. Mm-hmm. It can all be run as a virtual service. So that in itself has become the new play. And I think that'll become really exciting because, again, as we said earlier, you know, the cost footprint of organizations is reducing. So they're trying to get more people out there working remote, and, you know, bringing the technology to the masses, making it easy to understand. But from a service user point of view, it could also become far more intelligent rather than that traditional sort of stunted services that perhaps you get where things are delivered over a series of calls and voicemails and it's sort of dialed type led stuff. Yeah. This becomes in the real world of that quite clever, but you don't know it almost. You could be asking a patient system for an appointment, mm-hmm. and what you're actually getting is a bot response, but it feels very natural, very normal. So again, it's not so daunting, but it also becomes quite real world clever.
Yeah. So we touched a little bit there on the voice element. Do you think the telcos still have a role to play in this, or do you think they're worried at the minute with voice over IP becoming more the norm? How do we see that one playing out?
I think if you look at to look at the magic quadrant from Forrester there, when you look at where the Microsoft sit now, and bearing in mind that Skype for Business was the previous iteration of Teams, which then was Office Communications Server before that, and Link and so on. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the voice space that Microsoft have been in for 15, 16 years, that now is really becoming to full fruition. So those other partners or those other providers out there really, should be worried, I suppose, naturally. They're doing their own things, but I think when you look at where Microsoft sits now in the telco market, it's very strong. Yeah. It's very compelling, and it makes sense. So I'm not saying it's the best solution out there, but it's certainly very, very strong. It does everything that that people need to do. So, they naturally should be thinking about how they go about this.
They do, don't they? They definitely consider it as part of that roadmap that we're working with them on. I think in the back of our customers' minds, they are thinking about at which point could I potentially replace my telephony solution with Teams and Teams Voice. Because we also know that commercially, when you start to look at some of the licensing agreements and that are out there, if that customer is looking at voice and security, very strong from Microsoft as well, and data, there are three very valuable areas of the business which can effectively consolidate and then pay for that as under one contract, which I think people are now seriously considering. Of course, there's going to be other vendors involved in that play, but I think it's becoming more compelling than ever, and voice could be the way to really realise the value, because you can save a lot of money.
It truly becomes a commoditized service, which I think inevitably it will do. But what you see also is where customer conversation, in the last few days I've had, where the customer's got an existing sort of PBX solution, although it'd be a soft switch solution, and they're now saying, well, actually, we've got the 365 capability. We want to use Teams for voice. Can we put a virtual session into Azure? Yes, you can. Can we run that service through our provider's lines into Azure? Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you've got a very resilient solution, very agile solution. So as that organization scales or retracts, you can move that around. You're no longer stuck by that. And also, some of the software update problems they've had in the last few years with the current solution, they aren't the case, because you've got the ability to change that environment as you go.
Brilliant. Okay, guys. Well, I think we captured some pretty good content there. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to have you both with me. So thanks for joining
pleasure
me.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you.
All right. And so that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and we hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any of the points further. And if you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod.